Guys, welcome back. Our guest tonight is a legendary comedian and former head writer of The Howard Stern Show. He's written an autobiography that you can get now. Go to jokeland.com to get the link for that. Jackie Martling is here. Hey, she originally gave us a typo, and we were calling a hospital for it. Do you get a lot of calls for a hospital?
Yeah, but I've healed a lot of people because I'm very mad. I'm a magic person. Well, where am I talking to? Tell me who you are and where I'm talking to.
My name's Mike. Benny is also here. We're with a podcast called The Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks Internet Radio Program.
The Wheelbarrow Full of...
Dicks.
Dicks.
Jesus, I never heard of this. I don't remember. I don't care. I don't care. Where are you out of?
I'm in St. Louis. Benny is in Philadelphia.
A wheelbarrow full of... Now, are you a bunch of homos?
No.
just one.
It was ill-advised, Jackie. The name was a mistake.
Well, is anybody listening to you?
Sometimes.
Why would they?
I'm just
being a jerk. How you guys doing? I love St. Louis.
Do you?
I was in St. Louis for a big charity ball about 15 years ago, and I sat between Willie Nelson's ex-wife and Morgan Fairchild, the biggest doctor for hepatitis C, is or was from St. Louis. I forget his name, but he's a world-famous doctor. And Willie Nelson's bass player's wife was cured of hepatitis C by this doctor, so we had a big charity event there. Willie Nelson's my pal.
Huh. I didn't know that there was a cure for hepatitis C.
I don't know if it's a cure or whether it's just a way to combat it. You know what I mean? Like, to calm it down or whatever. It's a pretty scary thing because you can get it and not know it for 30 years, and then all of a sudden one day you got it. It's
right.
pretty heinous, you know?
Hey Jackie, yeah. is there any truth that you had a joint rolling contest with Willie Nelson?
On the radio.
On Stern?
Yeah, on the Howard Stern Show, yeah. And I won, and Snoop Doggy Dogg beat me.
Is it for speed or is it for how, I mean, is it a sliding scale? Can you?
It was a goof because it was actually, they brought out rolling papers and tobacco, which is big, leafy, you know, it was a mess, but it was just funny. It was just silly, but it was fun.
Hey, I know you're not drinking anymore. Congrats on that, by the way, but are you still getting high at all?
No, I couldn't resist today. I woke up and I don't know what it was. It's been like 16 years and I woke up this morning just like drank four shots of vodka and I'm out of my mind, man.
Really?
Yeah, I shouldn't be driving. But I smoked some pot to level it off, so I'm okay, you know.
Yeah, nothing to worry about then.
Well, and you're driving an ambulance.
I gotta get out there.
It's important.
I haven't had a drink in 16 years. I quit a long time ago, yeah. Yeah, I don't drink.
We should talk about the book, though, right, Jackie?
If you want to get my book, it's you got to go to JackieTheJokeMan.com. It's one word, JackieTheJokeMan.com, and the Amazon page pops up, and you can get hardcover, or you can get a Kindle, or you can get the audio book. And I recorded the audio book myself, and Artie Lang did the foreword, but he also did the foreword to the audio book.
Yeah, the book's great so far. I haven't finished the whole thing, but there's some really great stories in there, even beyond the Stern stuff. Like, the Rodney stuff was fantastic.
Thank you very much. I didn't know you had it. Thanks for reading it. You know, it's funny because the feedback is 95% over the top, and then you get a couple of crappy reviews. Like, you know, Jackie doesn't know what he's doing. He's an idiot. You know, there's always going to be those Sternophiles that are going to attack me, you know?
Well, I live in Philly, and there's some publication called the Philly Voice, and they just published an article. It wasn't bashing you, but it addressed some rumor that I hadn't heard, but about that. I guess they had spoke to you about it. There was a rumor circulating around that Howard had forbidden anyone associated with the show to cooperate with the book, but you said that that wasn't true at all.
What I said was, I don't think it's true, that it could be true. But I hadn't heard that, and you know what? There are websites online websites that just print whatever they want, and then people read that.
Yeah, and take it as
all
fact.
They remember is reading it, and they take it as fact, and then quote it. And then it becomes, he did that, or it becomes, I accused him of that. And as far as I know, that's absolutely untrue. And I won't dignify the place who printed it, because that'll just perpetrate it. Howard's big and powerful. He does not need to tell us. Now, if his people know enough not to talk about it or not to do anything, that's one thing. But, you know, I mean, that's just unfair. That's people just trying to start trouble, you know, that they, which they obviously have, you know.
Well, what's interesting to me about the whole thing, and I see all the online internet stuff and all the behind the scenes gossip, and you, I mean, your book is kind of behind the scenes look at your years on the Stern Show, but the Stern Show was kind of designed to like make you feel like you were seeing behind the scenes, you know, like, you know, he'd say,
there's no big revelations. You're reading the book. You don't think it's negative, right? It's a love.
No. But I mean, you're telling stories of stuff that was off the air. And I mean, it's interesting to kind of see that, just because, I mean, like, as a long-term Stern listener, you know, I always felt like I was part of the club and I was seeing behind the scenes, you know, because he'd say, oh, there's two guys out arguing in the hallway, bring him in here, let's do it on the air, and you know, so like, right. You kind of felt like you were seeing behind the scenes,
right? So if it goes a little bit more behind the scenes, that's really fun for the listeners.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
they really dig that.
And also I think
I tell people, you know, there's nothing new. Like, everything that happened on that show, everybody kind of knew, so the stuff in the book is kind of like, it just kind of embellishes and goes a little deeper into the stuff you already know, right?
Yeah, and I think people that think that this is a book that's like a damning tell-all type expose book, it's not like that. It's just a recollection of your time on the radio.
Some of the reviews, people are going, oh, Jackie was saying that this is a big tell-all book, and he baited and switched it. I never said that. That's what those online things are saying, you know, damning book, explosive autobiography.
Yeah, nothing like that at all in the book.
But I never claimed that it was, and now people are saying that I claimed that. You know, it's like, but of course that's going to happen.
If you get some heat in that direction and people think that, then you probably sell some more books, right?
But I don't want people to think I started that or perpetrated that, because that was not the flavor I started this with. I don't want people thinking that they're going to read all kinds of crap. And
yeah, that was my point. It's
reviews,
not like that at all.
There's people I read a few reviews where people said, oh, this is a love letter. Jackie wrote this to try and get his job back. So some people think I'm slamming Howard, and other people think I'm kissing his ass to get my job. You know, everybody has an opinion, you know. They don't cost anything. You get to have one no matter what, you know.
Well, Stuttering John has talked about writing a tell-all book. Do you think he'll actually do it, or...
Well, you know, as soon as somebody teaches him how to read and write, I think he's got a chance of it.
I thought he was running for Senate. Isn't he running for Senate?
You know, he's my good friend, and he got mad at me and Artie because we broke his balls when we recorded the forward, because he had just come out and said he was going to run for Senate, but he hadn't chosen a roommate, a running mate yet. And we thought that was so funny, and we just went nuts on him. But, like, it's just a goof, man.
It was funny.
When the grab him by the pussy thing came out, that was damning for Trump. I can't imagine what tapes they can pull out on John.
You know what? The truth is, all of us guys, we believe it or not, we were so well behaved because we didn't dare. You know, even if you wanted to do something, you didn't do anything because it was going to wind up on the radio. We almost were handcuffed by, you know, same thing with, you know, if you wouldn't even think about cheating on your wife or breaking a law or something, because it's going to be the first thing out of the box in the morning on the radio. So it was kind of good, you know. John's a good guy, and I think he really does have a deal for a book, and I'm sure he'll go wild. People are slamming me because I didn't say anything about Fred or Gary. This book was not about them. It was about me, you know what I mean? Every time I wrote Gary's name, I wrote Flop Flop Flow Flow or something like that, which just made it fun, you know?
The title of the book is Bow to Stern, which, of course, is a ship reference. Because
right.
you're no, a boat guy, right?
Right. It's front to back, beginning to end, you know? And
yeah,
I'm not a boat guy at all, but I live on the water. I live in a very nautical situation. And so the bow to Stern is wink, wink, because the one thing I didn't do for 18 years was bow to him. You know, that's why I'm not still there. You know what I mean? So
what's interesting to me is from reading the book, it sounds like you had no interest in even being on the radio. You had no aspirations for a radio career, and you just kind of...
Like, you know, yeah, that's right. You know, I loved it, and I think it's great. But that wasn't in my sights. I stumbled into that.
You just blindly sent your record albums to anyone who you had heard of that would take them, and kind of caught on.
It's interesting, right? The way the whole thing fell together. It's kind of, everybody thinks that, you know, nobody knew, and so when they read the timeline of my life and how everything kind of, you know, stumbled into place one thing after another, it's kind of interesting, right?
It was a good read. It was a quick read too. I mean, you didn't get too in depth. You told the stories and you got out, and it was a good weekend read, Jackie. I enjoyed the book quite a bit.
Thank you,
Jackie. I was a fan since a teenager, so you're partially responsible for the corruption of my youth. But I'm sure in retrospect you could appreciate how funny it is now. But in the moment, like when they would go on like these half an hour to hour and a half, like Jackie bashing segments that were hilarious. Could you recognize in the moment how funny that was? Or was there an element of you that was kind of playing along, or in the moment was like, oh man, this is going to be a rough morning?
You know what? People have trouble wrapping their brain around it, but there actually were times when I was actually writing some of the horrible crap he was saying. which is very hard for people to wrap their brain around, because it's kind of surreal. You know what I mean?
So you've been doing stand-up since the 70s, right?
I was a guitar player and a songwriter, and we played songs and told jokes. And when I quit music in the end of 1978, I started telling jokes. Instead of playing guitar and telling jokes, I started telling jokes and playing guitar, if that makes any sense.
So you've been on stages since the 70s. And what I want to know is, like, when you go up on stage to tell jokes, do you keep your wallet on you? Or do you leave your wallet backstage?
I take my wallet out of my pocket because I want my ass to look good on the outside. Chance there's a girl there that wants to bang me
and taking pictures. Yeah. So you leave your wallet backstage. You empty your pockets. That's a common response.
The truth is, I usually leave my wallet in my car.
Yeah, I mean, you don't really need it. I guess they probably give you all the chicken fingers and beer you can drink anyway, so you probably don't need it in there, right?
And when I meet the hooker, it's in my car, so I need my wallet not till I get to my car. You know what I'm saying?
Before you get going, can I make a request?
You can do anything you want.
Can you tell the joke about the lion and the monkey in Africa?
So there's a gorilla walking along in the jungle, and there's a lion getting a drink of water from a mud puddle. And the lion's tail is up, and the gorilla was like, oh, man. The gorilla goes up behind the lion and slips some Liberace, you know. And then the gorilla takes off. So the lion takes off after the gorilla, and the gorilla runs into a hunter's camp and jumps inside a tent and puts on like a pith helmet and grabs a copy of the Johannesburg Times and sits down in a chair and starts to read. And the lion comes running into the hunter's camp. Rawr! And he sticks his head in the tent. Rawr! Did a gorilla come through here? And the gorilla peeks out from behind the Johannesburg Times and says, you mean the one that fucked the lion in the ass? And the lion says, my God, you mean it's in the paper already? That is the greatest joke. You know, that's the first joke I told. I did Gilbert Gottfried's podcast a couple of times, and we're just really good friends with our jokes. And he requested that, and I told that on his podcast. I did a couple of his podcasts that are coming out again next week.
There's like a legendary bit from Stern where I think Gilbert was on, so his laugh kind of contributed to it. But it was during Robin's News, and it was like a really bad news day in terms of like really heinous news, really dark and grim stuff. And throughout the entire segment, Fred was playing clips of your laugh at the end of every news story.
Yeah, like, and the hard, the more he played it, the more Gilbert laughed and the more I laughed, which is great.
I remember,
you know what's
people
funny about
in.
That? What's
people
funny about that is Fred has so many copies of my laugh, right? And he played it. It was one of the most popular things on the show is him playing the laughs after heinous stories. And it was really funny because I would either get the credit or the blame. And I'd be like, that's crazy because Fred should get all the credit or all the blame. It has nothing to do with me. I was an innocent bystander. You know, but he'd play that and Howard would go, oh, Jackie. You know, they'd play a little. That was a funny.
People would call in and reprimand you for laughing at such horrible things.
Yeah, and I'd be like, how stupid can people be? You know, my God.
Yeah, so I think that if you dedicated the remainder of your life to making sure that Fred got credit for things, that would be a worthy use of your time, because
you have to read my book.
You sing a lot of praises of Fred in the book.
But did you read the place about where Howard bleeped?
Yeah.
When I gave Fred credit?
Right, yeah.
That tells, you know, when I got to the show, Fred was writing all the parodies and all the, you know, and all the bits, and he was getting zero credit. It wasn't until me and Fred started writing it together and Howard say, Robin, here's a song I wrote. I said, what do you mean that you wrote? He said, all right, here's a song me and the boys wrote. Said, what do you mean you and the boy? You know what I mean? It's so funny. Fred never spoke up. He never spoke up for himself. So what, you know?
Is he fine just sitting back there and doing what he does? He never had any...
He's absolutely fine. I think he might be a powder keg. Who knows? There's no way to know. He's just he's a good soldier. He would take a bullet for Howard. He's the building block of the show. He's the greatest guy. He's beyond brilliant, beyond funny, beyond talented. One of the most talented people I've ever been in the presence of. And I say that all through the book, you know?
Yeah.
You got any stand-up dates coming up, Jackie?
Who listens to this? Anybody anywhere?
Oh, we're all over the world.
It's online. So
I'm going to be at the Cutting Room the night before Thanksgiving, the wildest night of the year. I'm going to be at the Cutting Room doing a show and a book signing November 22nd. That's Wednesday night, November 22nd. I'm at a place at a winery in Blairstown, New Jersey on November 16th. And I'm going to be at the Mohegan Sun on Sunday, November 12th. I can't believe I'm pulling these right out of my mind. And November 2nd, I'm at McGuire's in Bohemia on Long Island. And December 9th, I'm at the Looney Bin, Staten Island. And I just love doing my shows, man. I still dig it so much. People say,
yeah,
well,
come
how
back
can
to
you
Philly soon.
Oh, that's the one I left out. And November 25th, I'm at the Raz Room New Hope. Well, that's not Philly, but it's kind of close to Philly.
Yeah, it's right outside. It's not too far.
Hey, did you ever hear of the Vault at Victor Records?
I'm sorry? The Vault?
Did you ever hear of a place that's outside of Philadelphia called the Vault at Victor Records?
No, I'm not familiar. Do you know where specifically it is? What town?
Yeah, it's in Berlin, New Jersey. It's Victor Records was a record company before it merged with RCA Victor. And it's the most amazing history. And they have all the old stuff there and the old Victrolas and the crank Victrolas. It's a little performance space. And I did a show there last Saturday. And it's just a delightful little place. And all of Philadelphia really should know about this place. I can't believe that they don't. It's amazing.
The Vault in Berlin. I'll check that out.
The Vault at Victor Records. Look it up on Google. It's, you know, it's they invented the idea of putting the music on a disc. You know, Edison had it on a tin wheel, you know?
Yeah. Hey, you know, I did stand up for about 10 years. And when I first started out, the Reverend Bob Levy kind of took me under his wing because he's from around this area. And he used to put me up in front of Stern Crowds.
You know his story?
Well, yeah, you represented a book. He got his name from you. You coined the name of the Reverend, right?
Like decades later, I found out that he's still using the name. I thought that was so funny. I was very honored, you know?
There's a lot of comedians who have like their old showcase tapes, and it's your voice introducing them. Rich Voss had a tape that he was playing, and it was you introducing them. And I think it was all from that Rascals showcase.
That was audition nights with Levy, but I hosted the Rascals Comedy Hour for a couple of years, and I had every comic in under the sun that I introduced. You know what I mean? That there would be three comedians every week, and it was fun. Oh my God, was that a that was just a field day, and that was I was on the show. So yeah. I would go from the show, and I would host the Rascals Comedy Hour on a Thursday night. I had to have a different 7 or 8 minute monologue every week of different jokes. Every week for a year, I had a different 7 or 8 minutes that I, you know, I mean, they're just old jokes, but I had to memorize what I was telling and what I wasn't telling. And it was at the same time as we had the damn Channel 9 show. How I did all that, man, I will never, ever know. Oh, you know, we wrote a whole, we had the radio show, plus we wrote the TV show, plus I had to have a monologue. You know, I get a headache just thinking about the work I used to do. Now, you know, I just went to get my TSA clearance, and that's enough work for today. I'm going to go home and take a nap.
Are you still in contact with Bob Levy? What's he doing now?
I haven't seen him in a while. I saw him maybe a year ago. So, you know, with Casey Armstrong, I think, did like a roast. Maybe they were roasting Casey Armstrong at some little Holiday Inn, and I went out there, and Levy was there and a bunch of people. He's a decent guy. He's a good chap.
Yeah, he's been driving for Uber lately. So you know how lots of times when you're driving with Uber, you talk to the driver. He's got probably one of the coolest stories of any of the other drivers. I mean, he can say that Jackie Martling coined the phrase the Reverend Bob Levy.
If you had an Uber driver and he told you his name was Reverend Bob Levy and that he was a comedian, that the Jackie the Joke Man named him, wouldn't you say, let me out at the next corner? That's a pretty good stat. That's funny that it's true, you know?
Is it true? Is that really true? He drives for Uber now?
That's the absolute gospel truth, where it's funny.
Who was your favorite Stern guest?
There was a lot of them. You know, I love Pat Cooper. And When Sam came on, it was usually fun. But then Pat Cooper was the funniest and the most fun. You know, Sam, Red Hot and Cold, and so many people were fun. You know, Belzer was always funny. Gilbert was always funny. But Pat Cooper was the crazy, really crazy, you know.
Richard Simmons
was fun. That got old quick, you know.
Your reaction to when Beetlejuice would come in the studio just kind of really emphasized to anyone listening what was going on.
There was never a time when that guy walked into the studio that I wasn't like, holy mother of God, you know, that, you know, God has a sense of humor and he's a dick. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You think you're ready to look at that guy, and you are never ready to look at that guy.
Yeah, I got an opportunity to Beatle sit a couple of times from doing shows with those guys, and it was one of the highlights of my very short and illuminous career was getting to watch.
I'm very sorry to hear that. Where'd you do comedy?
It was pretty much the Philadelphia area around here. Every once in a while, if I got lucky enough to get up to New York, I would. But like I said, Levy helped me out a lot. And
I was doing comedy in Philadelphia years and years before I met Howard. I started in 79. I worked at the Comedy Works and the Comedy Factory Outlet and Bananas and the Comedy Cabaret, all those joints. I was there forever.
Well, your picture is still up at the Cabaret. And the Comedy Works, I believe, Stu has a picture of you. Those places are still around.
Why do all these clubs have such goofy fucking names?
Well, what are you going to do it called? Harry's? I think the names are great. Giggles and Zanies and
Bananas.
I always thought there should be one called Schadenfreude. You know what that means?
No.
Schadenfreude is a German word that's the definition is that's taking glee in someone else's misfortune. which every comic does. If I tell you your best friend who's another comedian bombed, you want to get up and dance, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Because
we're
all such pricks, you know.
Yeah.
You know what? I had 6 book signings in the last 7 days, and I finally, today is my day off, and I'm going to Gilbert. There's a big party for Gilbert Gottfried's documentary that's coming out.
Oh, that looks so surprise. It looks so good. Have you seen it yet?
Yeah, I've seen half of it. It's going to be just such a delight to go there and not have to work. I've been signing and driving and driving and signing and performing. And now, you know, I had a, but it was really fun. It was a great week, and I'm selling a lot of books, and I appreciate it. It's guys like you. I don't care if you only got two listeners. If we get them both to buy a book, I'm happy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. We have more than two listeners, Jack. We have at least double that.
Okay. So listen, JackieTheJokeMan.com. Go to that URL. The Amazon page pops up. JackieTheJokeMan.com. Get it in hardcover. Get it in Kindle. Get it as an audio book. I'll tell you my sales pitch. I've been telling everybody, if you have a friend that's a Stern fan and you don't have a lot of money, buy the book, read the book, and then give it to your friend for Christmas, right? if you got family members and friends that are Stern fans, it's the easiest present. It's a no-brainer. It's a perfect present for somebody that's a Stern fan. So if you know five people in your family that are Stern fans, you buy five, and that's a whole night or two of Christmas shopping you just knocked out of the way. You can go out and get drunk because you don't have to spend it walking around through the mall or combing through to Google. And one other thing is, if you're wrapping Christmas presents, everybody goes out to the stores and buys presents and then sits around and wraps them, right?
Right.
Think about the times that you've been wrapping presents and you get to a book.
That's
what goes
easy
through your mind? Now, this is easy to wrap.
Yeah.
This is a holiday to wrap this thing. It's the easiest thing in the world to wrap. So you buy five or ten of them. You go somewhere to get me to sign them. You get a nice autographed book for your friend. They get something that they really love. It's really unique. It's brand new. Easy to wrap. You don't have to go out Christmas shopping. This book sells itself,
this
man.
Is
it doesn't even
all,
need me.
This is all very thoughtful.
You're doing a service to us all, Jackie. You're doing a service.
Well, the truth is I'm hawking my book, but everything I'm saying is really true, right?
Absolutely.
Right.
Hey, Jackie, man, the book's been great so far. Thanks for all the laughs over the years, man. Love you, man.
Thank you. Yep. One last thing is I tweet jokes every day at 4:20 marijuana time. 4:20 p.m. I tweet jokes. Follow me at Jackie Martling. I guarantee you won't be disappointed. At Jackie Martling. Yesterday I tweeted my friend Willie Nelson sent me a picture of him holding up my book and giving me the finger. It's so funny. If go on my Twitter at Jackie Martling, you'll see the picture. It's just great. I asked his daughter to ask him to do that. So she said, I'm not on the road with him anymore. You got to wait till he gets home. And he finished up his tour and he went back to Austin. And all of a sudden there's the picture of him giving the finger. It's so fun. He's a good guy, man.
Bow to Stern is available now. Jackie, thank you so much for your time. Take care.
All right, listen, good luck with your head full of dicks. I appreciate it.